From WGCU News, this is Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. Tax day is just over 3 weeks away, and while some dread paying the tax man, many look forward to the prospect of a tax return windfall. But getting your documents prepared and in order can be confusing and costly. A group of local accountants volunteer their time to help people prepare their taxes as part of the VITA program, which stands for Voluntary Income Tax Assistance. It's a program by the United Way of Collier County, and we'll talk with them about who can access this accounting expertise, and we'll also talk with one of the volunteer accountants about tips for filing your 2016 returns. Plus, author Robert Maycumber makes Pine Island his home, but travels the world gathering intel for his historical novels about the U.S. Naval officer Peter Wake. In a series of books called The Honor Series, Maycumber takes readers from the mid-1800s to the early 1900s and through countless battles and international intrigues along the way. We'll talk with the author a little later in the show. But first, the news. This is Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. Writer Robert Maycumber uses a real-life backdrop of history for his novels, featuring the fictional character of Peter Wake. We'll talk with the author about the latest novel in his series of books called The Honor Series, which takes us from the Civil War through the Spanish-American War, all from the Florida front lines. But first, the tax man cometh. However, this year, he's a little late. The traditional date of April 15th falls on a Saturday, and this year, Emancipation Day, which is a D.C. holiday, happens to fall on the Monday after the 15th. Which gives procrastinators a little breathing room. The official due date is Tuesday, April 18th this year. But while some may love the extra time to pay off Uncle Sam, others want to get their taxes done quickly so they can benefit from a healthy and timely tax return. Still, getting the most from your taxes is a challenge that can seem overwhelming and expensive. That's why the United Way of Collier County started its Volunteer Income Tax Assistance Program, which offers no-fee tax filing for people in households making less than $64,000 a year. Here to tell us more about the program and why it's so vital to many people in Collier County is Spencer Smith with the United Way. Thank you for being here, Spencer.
Glad to be here.
No matter where you live, there are some changes to the U.S. tax code this year that could mean bigger refunds or make your check arrive a little slower than usual. Here to talk about that is Natalie Combs, who runs the volunteer program and who knows her way around a W-2. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you.
We are talking about the 2016 tax year and the VITA program, or VITA program in particular, which provides tax filing assistance to lower-income residents. Do you have a question? Give us a call at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK on Facebook. We're at WGCU Public Media, and on Twitter we are at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. First, Spencer, tell me a little bit about this program. How long has United Way of Collier been doing this?
We've been doing this program for a while. United Way has been doing what we did was self-facilitated assistance in the previous years. And essentially what that is, they would come in and we would use a program similar to My Free Taxes to help them set up their and file their returns. This year we've done what's called the full-on VITA, which is a little bit different. This is where we actually have IRS-certified volunteers come in, do the training, get certified, and they'll actually do face-to-face tax appointments with Collier residents and help them file their taxes.
So this year is a little bit different, having actual people there that can do face-to-face stuff.
Well, last year was face-to-face as well, but basically they were just helping the people actually file their own taxes.
Now they're certified.
Yes. And now, they were certified last year. The training wasn't as intense as it is this year.
All right. So if you wanted to go and access the VITA program, what are the requirements?
The requirements to actually go and use it, basically what you'd do is you would call our Collier 211 number, which is a helpline that you can get all kinds of different services. But this year we have it set up to do appointments and scheduling through there for any of our six locations in the county. They can also call the United Way office and we'll actually set up an appointment for them as well. And they can find out information online to set up their own appointment as well from our website.
So do you have to be a Collier County resident to do this?
You do not have to be a Collier County resident. We will file anybody's taxes. But this service is offered all over the country as well. So your local office will actually also be able to help you as well.
So local United Ways everywhere?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, that's great news. So what do people need to bring when they come into an in-person appointment?
Well, the two main things are they're going to need their identification and a Social Security card. That's an IRS item that we have to have in order to do their filing. Other than that, they're going to need all their W-2s for all their jobs held. They're going to need or ITIN number, any 1099s, 1098s, 1095As, bank account numbers, so you can do your pay your filing or actually take your return and put it into your own bank account.
And by now, everybody should have gotten their W-2s. I think it's required for people to get it by February or something.
By the end of January, they're required to have them in.
So. Okay. So pretty much everything that you've gotten in the mail that looks like a tax form, just take it with you.
Exactly.
Probably a good idea.
Yeah.
Now, is it possible for someone to do this online? The VITA, you have an online service?
Yes, we do. And it's slightly different. It's called My Free Taxes, which is going to be – again, it's going to be the software that's very similar to TurboTax, and it's actually ran through H&R Block. And you can actually go on, set up an account, and it will be free to you as long as you meet the income qualification of $64,000 a year, less
a
year.
And that's $64,000 for the whole household. So
correct.
If you have two income earners or correct. Multiple income earners, it has to add up to less than $64,000.
Yes, unless you want to split up and file married yet separately.
Oh, okay.
Instead, or single head of household, but yes, individuals.
Yeah. So Natalie Combs, you're helping you're helping people with tax preparation at VITA, the United Way Volunteer Income Tax Assistance Program. What are people most concerned about this year? What have you been seeing?
A lot of people are really concerned about the health care and the penalties for that. So we've seen that a lot. We've seen a lot of people concerned about the Earned Income Tax Credit, EITC. One out of five people who qualify actually receive it. So a lot of people are questioning how they get that credit, how they get other credits on their tax return.
Mm-hmm. So according to the IRS, a lot of people's refund checks are going to be out a little late this year because the government is looking real closely at that Earned Income Tax Credit and the additional child tax credit. Can you tell me just real quickly, what is the Earned Income Tax Credit?
So Earned Income Tax Credit is a credit for people who the bottom line of it is $14,880 for a single person making less than that income threshold. It goes all the way up to about $56,000. So they can get a credit based on their income. It varies if they're filing single, if they're filing married jointly, and how many kids they have.
Okay. So that's a credit that you get back. You just get that
yep,
comes
it's
back.
Up to $6,000. It just varies on your situation.
Depending on how much you've earned.
How much you've earned, if you're married, if you're single, and how many children you have.
Okay. And then what's the additional child tax credit? What is
that? So the child tax credit, you can get up to $1,000 per child. Again, it just – a lot of these situations with the credits vary on your filing status, married, single, head of household, the age of your child, those kind of things.
And as much as you may want to, you can't claim your husband as a child. Right?
You could. No, you can't.
So can you explain to me a little bit the difference between a deductible and a credit? Because everybody talks about tax credits and then tax deductions. So
sure.
What is the main difference between these two?
Sure. So the main difference is a deduction lowers your taxable income. So you can either take a standard deduction or an itemized deduction where you deduct major medical expenses, your charitable contributions, things like that. A credit is going to be a credit on your tax. Some are refundable, some are non-refundable. So there's dozens of credits. As Spencer had mentioned, our volunteers go through very extensive training with the IRS. So we've all been certified on the dozens of tax credits, mortgage interest credit, child care credits, stuff like that.
Well, it's pretty important, too, to have somebody that knows what to look for mm-hmm. to be able to find these things because people don't normally know tax code in their general daily life.
Definitely. I think that, you know, just something as easy as the child care credit, if a working mother comes in, she may not realize that she can get a credit for the amount she's paid to her daycare for her children to go to daycare so she can work.
And then, but she has to have proof of that from the daycare?
Yep. The daycare usually sends it out. If not, I've had people that I just sit down with, they actually call their daycare right on site and get the information that I need.
Okay. So you have to have the daycare's tax number.
Correct.
Or employer identification.
Yep, they're
number,
even.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, Spencer, you've noted before when I've talked in conversation with you that the tax refund can be a pretty crucial piece of the puzzle for a lot of people in springtime. Can you tell me a little bit about how that tax refund can impact people?
Sure. So right away, right off the bat, somebody doesn't know how to do their taxes. They're not feeling very comfortable about it. They may want to go to an accountant just to make sure that they're getting all the credits that they qualify for. That could cost them $200 right there and then. And if they're going to qualify for those credits, $200 is a large part of their annual income. So that can make or break whether you can afford to pay your utility bill that month. So right there's a savings going into it. When they come in and they get that free service, our volunteers are actually going to go through and do all that, basically making sure that they qualify for anything that they're going to get. And when they – sometimes these families will come in and they'll qualify for the full amount of their earned income tax credit and they had no idea. And that can be up to $6,000 When the family is only making like 30 grand a year, I mean, that's a huge chunk of change for them. So that allows the family to go back and get caught up on anything that they have been falling behind, which will in turn make sure that the family feels more stable. They're no longer going to be worrying about possibly having their car repossessed, having their lights turned off, being able to feed their family that month. There's a lot of things that go into account for that. Also, with that money coming back to them that they had earned, it also takes a lot away from the support that they're going to need from other nonprofit agencies out there. Maybe this month they don't need to go to the food bank to get the food that they needed. So it helps cut back on expenses from all around, not just that family, but the community itself. And that gives more resources available to somebody else that might be in need as well.
And also it's helpful that it occurs this time of year. I mean, obviously tax time is always in the springtime, but particularly in our area with the service industry and the seasonality of things, it's pretty nice to have a windfall right before things really die down, right before Easter time when a lot of our snowbirds return to the north.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. As you know, Florida is a very seasonable place with a huge, huge amount of hospitality residents and employees. So when the snowbirds go back and it's a little bit slower at the restaurants or wherever they're working at, it's nice for them to have a little bit of a cushion to help with any of the drier months of summer, you know.
Yeah, very lean times in the summer. But we are having more and more year-rounders, so it may be getting a little better. But it is usually pretty tough when it goes from seasonal high all the way down to the low. So, Natalie, one thing that may affect people in our area, particularly people in the process of immigrating legally, is the ITIN number. That's the IRS reports that a lot of these numbers have expired on January 1st. And that's the number that people use when they're not eligible for a Social Security number yet. And it's being expired can hold up a person's eligibility for some key tax credits, and it can also delay refunds for people. Have you seen that impacting anyone here, people that are in the process of immigrating?
I haven't seen it quite yet. I know the IRS sent out a letter in the fall letting everyone know if their ITIN was expiring so that way they could get ahead of the game on renewing it. So I think most people that I've seen that have an ITIN have already had it renewed and have been through the process.
Great. But if you haven't, it can take up to 11 weeks to get that renewed.
Correct.
Okay. So the people that that's going to impact, I just wanted to give a list if you're out there listening. A non-resident foreign national who owns or invests in a U.S. business and receives taxable income from that U.S. business but lives in another country. A foreign national student who qualifies as a resident of the United States, or a dependent or spouse of a U.S. citizen or lawful permanent resident, or a dependent or spouse of a foreign national that's on a temporary visa. And so those are the people that would have that ITIN number and need to make sure that you have that renewed and up to date before you do your taxes, because it can hold things up for you. Another big thing is salespeople that track their miles. Now, that's had a big change too. Do you have a lot of people that do itemized deductions, Natalie?
I don't. I think that a lot of people find that the standard deduction usually gets them a better benefit. We still enter in all of the itemized deductions just to see where you fall on the deduction category. But we definitely encourage people to bring in their documents for their mileage, any receipts on their prescriptions, everything like that, because even if it's a small amount, they do add up and they all fall into that itemized deduction bucket.
Yeah, interestingly, it does add up. But the changes, the price per mile or the amount you can deduct per mile has gone down. It's 54 cents per mile for business miles driven in 2016. It used to be 57 and a half cents. And then in 2017, it's going to go down again to 53 and a half cents. It's 19 cents per mile for medical or moving purposes in 2016. Before, it was 23 cents. So it went down pretty significantly. And those little 4 cents here and there can add up, especially if you're moving.
Definitely.
Especially across country, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, so those are one thing for people to maybe keep their eye on. And, Spencer, how has response been to the VITA program in the past, and then how has it been this year?
We're getting a lot more a rounded group of people coming in to get their taxes filed. We've had a lot of different populations coming in just because we've done a lot of different things this year. We've been focusing on doing corporate VITA sessions, so we'll actually go out to employers and offer doing free VITA sessions for their employees as an incentive to their employees that costs them nothing. And we've done that for the Seminole Casino. We've done it for NCH. We've done it for Collier County Government employees. I mean, we've done it for quite a few, and we're looking to try to expand on that and help just add a little extra cushion to our Collier residents any way we can. We also have been setting up six different sites throughout Collier County. We have Immokalee, we have East Naples, we have North Naples, we have Central Naples. Like, we're trying to get all over Collier County to make it as accessible as possible while offering it as many TAEs that we can. It is a volunteer-ran program, so it is kind of hard sometimes to find volunteers to staff all sorts of different hours. But right now we have the only 2 days that we don't have anybody that's set up for is Thursdays and Fridays. Other than that, we have mornings, afternoons, weekends, all day. So.
Which makes sense why you trained your own volunteers, because I'm pretty sure accountants are a little busy right now too.
Exactly. Yeah, and some of the volunteers we have are retired CPAs. They are tax attorneys. Like, we have all different spectrums for volunteers. And they all go through the same training. If you are a retired CPA or tax accountant, you can test out through the certification. And we have some that have done that, but most of them go through the training. And we've kind of done our best to make it as entertaining as possible. It is taxes, so it can be a little dry. And it is ran through the IRS, so there is a little bit of reading involved. But try your best to make it as easy and accessible for all volunteers.
Trying to read IRS documents is just like, I mean, it's eyebrow tearing out. Annoying. It's you can't get through it. You're just like, oh, get to the point. And then some of the way that they phrase things, it's just very cumbersome. But you mentioned earlier that you've had in the immigration population, you've had a little bit of a dip this year.
Yes. With the new administration and all their immigration policies that have been coming about, we've noticed that a lot of residents are a little bit nervous or apprehensive towards the beginning of the VITA season, and we realize that that may be because they are afraid that their information is going to be reported to ICE. We don't do that. The VITA program, we do not report any of the information to ICE, neither does the IRS. So that is something that we've been trying to get out there, and we have seen some significant changes out in some of the populations in Immokalee or East Naples and things like that. So that is something to be great that needs to be noted. Our program has been going really strong. So far, we've already gotten over $400,000 in returns for Collier residents that they had earned.
That's great. That's great not only for the individuals but also for Collier County.
Yeah.
Because that money goes back into the county.
Exactly. With the average return being about $1,800. So
yeah.
It's nothing to sneeze at.
Yeah, that's not something that you want to walk away from, and definitely something to take the time to make the appointment and get in there for. We are talking taxes with Natalie Combs, who's volunteering with the United Way's VITA program, as well as with Spencer Smith, who is with the United Way. Do you have a question? Give us a call at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media. And on Twitter, we are at WGCU using the hashtag GCO. Natalie, what's one thing that people should definitely do to try to maximize their tax return?
Come see us.
See someone who knows what they're looking at?
Honestly, it sounds like a joke, but I really think that that is the best thing, because we've been trained through all the credits, all the deductions, the new earned income tax eligibility changes, the new education benefits for people who are going to school to pursue a degree, not pursue a degree. There's, you know, new credits for that. All the way down to something as simple as your filing status. So a lot of people who are single just automatically assume they should file single. They don't realize that filing head of household is a more beneficial tax filing. So there's just a lot of things that go into your taxes that the average person may not know. We've been trained by the IRS to look for these things, ask you questions, interview you, just to get you the best refund.
So the online resource that you guys also have, does that do the kind of leading questions to get you to these credits?
It does. It's very simple. Even as a first time, if you're filing your own taxes for the first time, it's very simple. It'll just ask you yes and no questions, check boxes.
It does categorize you and what's going to be the best thing for you.
Definitely.
Right. Is there an advantage to filing electronically?
Yes, you get your refund faster.
Like how much faster?
2 to 3 weeks faster.
Yeah, those are some good weeks to have an extra $1,600.
Yep. They were holding – I know you mentioned they were holding refunds longer for the earned income tax credit and those other credits. That actually ended in early February.
Oh, great. So they're not holding longer.
Correct. The deadline for that is passed. So there's no delay as of right now.
So what are some of the things that people think are tax deductible but they really aren't?
I don't think it's so much what they think is tax deductible. I don't think they realize how much they have to have. So I've had a few people that donate to their church every week, which, bless their hearts, that's wonderful. But sometimes it just doesn't reach the threshold that they need to itemize their deductions. So then they end up having to take the standard deduction.
Oh, okay, for charitable donations.
Mm-hmm.
Under the Affordable Care Act, which is called Obamacare by most, there can be tax penalties for people who went without insurance. So how do people prove that they had health insurance so that they can avoid that penalty?
They should receive a form from their employer or from their health insurance. If they didn't, there is a list of exemptions that we go through, whether you're trying to claim a hardship or something like that, that we can try to get you out of paying that fee.
So, like, for example, if somebody lost coverage because they lost their job but then didn't re-get coverage, they didn't get on it, they had like 3 months left of the year, do they get penalized for those 3 months?
No. So there is a short gap exemption that you can file for. It's 90 days. So the reason that was set up is if you're in the process of changing jobs, a lot of times there's a 90-day waiting period before you can get on a new employer's health insurance coverage.
Yeah.
So there are different exemptions that you can claim that will get you out of that penalty.
So there's a list.
Yes, there is an extensive list.
All right. So there are ways to get that penalty waived. You just have to know what the list is.
Absolutely.
All right. So uninsured medical expenses are deductible on your federal taxes, right?
If
you have something. So what is that? Is that like for example, you spent $6,000 to get to your deductible, for example. Mm-hmm. Does that qualify?
Yeah. So anything paid out to any kind of labs, x-rays, prescriptions, copays, anything like that, you can save all of your receipts and claim that all under your deductions.
Mm-hmm. So another aspect of healthcare when it comes to taxes is the idea of socking away money away in a health savings account or an HSA. How does an HSA impact someone when it comes time to do their taxes? Is that pre-taxable money?
Yeah. So that, again, it's taxes are so complicated, aren't they? It's never an easy answer.
Right.
It varies whether your employee was contributing to your HSA or if you were personally. So, again, it's one of those things that varies from situation to situation on how the money was being plugged into your HSA.
See, this is why it's so important to get somebody to help you out.
Yeah,
because
exactly.
it's just impossible. It's really tough. So what about like student loan debt, for example? I guess the IRS recently changed some rules that would help someone whose parents are helping to pay off their loans.
You can claim a credit for money paid on student loan interest. So that is a credit that you can claim. That varies and caps off at a certain income level. So if you make, I think it's over $80,000, you kind of don't qualify for that credit any longer.
Mm-hmm.
But you can get a credit for interest paid on your student loans.
So what are some of the big purchases that people make in the course of a year that might have an impact on their taxes? So like if you buy, for example, a new house or electronic equipment or a computer for your job, I mean, how do those things impact your taxes? I think there's a homeowner's thing.
Yeah, most of these are going to be out of scope for the VITA program just because most of the people coming in for doing their taxes aren't going to be buying a brand new home right off the bat or like an electric car or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
That would be part of a business deduction for a 1099 if they're buying new equipment for their job or anything like that. But then again, it's just going to have to outweigh the standard deductions that, I mean, as long as they're spending over, what is it, like $6,000, it's just over $6,000 for the standard deduction.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned earlier contributions and donations that you're making to places. Mm-hmm. What is that? How much do you have to donate to be able to qualify?
They take a percentage of it.
Oh, so it's a percent of your income?
Yep, and there is a difference between cash and check donations versus items donated. So it's all taken into account. Again, I encourage everyone to bring in all of their receipts because whether it's a charitable contribution or a medical expense, medical mileage, it all goes into the same bucket. So even if you only donated $500 worth of furniture, if you had a major medical expense, it all goes into that itemized deduction bucket.
So now you've worked with people one-on-one and helped them with their taxes?
I have.
So what is one of the biggest refunds that you got for someone and how was that person's response?
I think one that stands out for me is I had a lady and she was filing single because she had filed single last year with her accountant. And we went through her taxes. She had a ton of dividends, interest income that we were putting in for her. I probably spent an hour and a half just entering all of her documents. Unfortunately, at the end of the session, it came out that she owed money. And then she was talking to me about her daughter that lived with her. But her daughter was old enough to claim herself as a dependent. So I actually thought, let's file you head of household. You qualify. as opposed to filing single because she is caring for her daughter. Her daughter lived with her. And through that, we were actually able to get her, I think it was about an $800 refund, which isn't a huge refund, but going from owing to getting almost $1,000 was really exciting for her, all on just changing her filing status. So again, it's just knowing, do you qualify for head of household as opposed to single, can change your status from paying the IRS and the IRS paying you.
That is a really big difference. It's huge. Mm-hmm. Now, do you have people on staff that can that speak Spanish too, so that they can help people that are, you know, I mean, are IRS documents even in Spanish?
We do have them in English and Spanish. So we have an intake form that asks you a bunch of questions about your expenses and income. But other than that, we have volunteers who not only sign up to be a tax preparer, but also as a translator and a greeter. So that way, if there is a client that's meeting with an English preparer, they can translate back and forth the information that's needed.
Yeah, to try to get that information. And just, you know, and like you said, conversation and human interaction is what brought about the story of the one woman who went from owing money to getting $800 back. Mm-hmm. So, Spencer, you mentioned to me earlier something about a 211 line. What is that?
Yeah, that is going to be our non-emergency helpline that we have. And basically, if you have any sort of dire need or you're having problems with like anything medical related, utilities related, rent, you're having problems with like depression or suicide or anything like that, you can call this number. It's 24/7, and you can get the resources that you need.
So this is like a clearinghouse that can help direct people to different nonprofits that can help?
Yes, exactly. So basically, we have about 200 different available agencies and resources in there that you can contact, and they specialize in the area that you are looking for. So if you need like income assistance with taxes, they'll refer you to the VITA program.
Sure.
Or if you're trying to look for a job, they'll get you to a job networking agency as well.
Now, is that manned 24 hours a day? Or?
Yes.
Wow, 24 hours a day.
Yep.
Is that a United Way thing?
Yes, it's United Way, and it is nationwide. And no matter where you are, if you call 211 in whichever area you are, your cell phone will reroute to that local United Way's 211 line.
Yeah. Wow, that's pretty interesting. So if people are wanting to get their taxes looked at and they want to get involved in this, do they have to go online to make an appointment?
So we have a bunch of different ways available. You can call the 211 number and they'll actually schedule an appointment for you based off which location would be most convenient to you. You can call our office and we will set up an appointment for you wherever is most convenient for you. Or you can go online and set it up yourself.
Okay. All right, great. So how many people so far have you helped this year?
We're 232 right now. And like I said, we've gotten over $400,000 in returns this year just in Collier County.
$400,000 is really amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And I mean, like you said, it's going to stay in the county and it's going to support our residents again.
And so help them get through the next several months, which are kind of tough, you know, for everybody. Do you have any stories of people that you've met or that you've come into contact with that have been affected positively with this?
Well, I get to see all the people walking out, and it's always great to see when they come in and they're like super nervous. They're worried about their taxes. They don't know what's going on. And after they sit down with Natalie or Riley or Lauren, some of our volunteers, like they walk out with a smile, and like it's like you can see the weight has been lifted off of their shoulders. They just feel a lot more comfortable, and they're walking out there with money too. Like some of them are worried they're going to owe money, and we figure out what they're going to be eligible for, and we get them that.
It's like you almost want to take a before and after picture. Like here's the picture of stress and anxiety, and then here's the picture of relief and windfall.
That's
right?
A good idea. Yeah, I like that. But yeah, like I said, I want to stress the fact too. This if people want to get involved with volunteering, and you don't like taxes, that's fine as well. We have a lot of different positions. We have greeter positions. We have translators. I mean, you can facilitate the intake process where you just basically have to give them the paperwork to fill out and just help them through that process and get them to the actual tax preparer.
Yeah, I'm so bad at math. Nobody wants me helping them with anything to do with taxes, but I can definitely greet people.
Yeah, exactly. So there are ways to help out even if you're not the best with numbers or anything like that. So.
And we have links to the VITA program on our website at wgcunews.org. So if anybody would like any additional information, be sure to check us out there on the internet at wgcunews.org to find out more about the VITA program, how you can get involved, or how you can be helped by it. I want to thank you guys both for coming in, Spencer Smith and Natalie Combs. It's been enlightening, although still a little bit confusing because it's the tax world, but I appreciate you coming in and guiding us through it. And it's good to know that there are people there that are willing, that are helping people get money back. So thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Coming up, Pine Island author Robert Maycumber joins the show to talk about another one of his historical novels set in our region, this time with an adventure during the Spanish-American War ranging from Havana to Tampa. We'll talk with the author about his new novel, An Honorable War, next.